This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So this is a week that will make or break Barcelona's season. They've got Juventus in the Champions League on Wednesday night. Then they've got Real Madrid in the Clásico and La Liga on Sunday. They really need to win both those games. It's that simple. But even if they do win those games, I think they're most would admit that they've got real problems at the club. How fundamental are the issues at Camp Nou at the moment?
I don't know if they're fundamental. I think it's just a byproduct of this era of the super clubs, really. When the margins are so small between all these big, big teams, I think sometimes the problems can be overplayed. There's still a lot of good things to like about Barcelona, but as you say, there's undoubtedly issues, and things haven't gone as well this season as they have in the previous two. Won a treble in the first season, double in the second. This season, it looks as if it could be one or none at the moment. There are issues to work out, but I think there's a danger of overplaying it too much.
Is that the case then? You know, Barcelona fans basically need a bit of a reality check almost, is that, you know, they're probably going to finish second in the league and they're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott makes a good point. I mean, even looking at Luis Enrique's record, I mean, it's not that far off compared to Pep Guardiola's time at the club in terms of trophies and things. I mean, obviously he's not going to be remembered the same way as Pep was, but on paper, the club seemed to be doing absolutely fine, at least in terms of, you know, continue to win trophies and things. Like you said, this season things have gone a bit, you know, off the rails and stuff, but I think there are fundamental issues at the club. There are two obvious ones to me. There's board level stuff and then there's on the coaching level as well, I think. I mean, the club have made a strong effort to try and reduce their debt, which I think has meant that, you know, £130 million or euros, which would have maybe went to buying players, has gone to, you know, reducing the debt. And I think as such, we've seen the club signing lesser players than they perhaps would have, or perhaps the calibre of player that Barcelona need to win championships and win titles. I also think Enrique himself and the coach before him were both, they offered a more short-termism approach than the guys before them in terms of Rijkaard and Guardiola.
So is the issues that they are facing this season, no matter if they're small or not, is it their transfer policy catching up with them? I mean, you look at the players, Denis Suarez was brought back to the club. It's not just the players that they're going after, it's the ones they're letting away. You know, Denis Suarez brought back to the club after he was allowed to leave. There's rumours Gerard Deulofeu is going to be coming back this summer after he was allowed to leave. You know, Alex Vidal is a youth product as well. They signed him last year. So is there a disconnect between what they need on the pitch and the players that they're actually signing?
Well, I think there is, but that's also one fundamental problem that there probably is that La Masia is not producing the same kind of conveyor belt of talent that there was. You've seen even in the summer there, Munir was allowed to go to Valencia, Sandro was allowed to go to Malaga as well. Yeah. So, you know, the quality of player isn't quite the same as the ones that came through in Pep's time just before, when the kind of Rijkaard era as well. There's a bit of that, and yeah, as you mentioned, the summer transfers haven't worked. Andre Gomez hasn't had a good first season. Paco Alcacer really, really struggled. You know, almost became a bit of a figure of fun. Now an elite club like Barcelona, that's a real issue. And then, you know, Samuel Umtiti maybe hasn't quite hit the ground running maybe as much as they would have liked. Lucas Digne had about 25 appearances, but they're still trying to bed in that defence. Defensively, they've never looked as strong since Puyol retired, and they've struggled to try and come up and help Piqué. Mascherano's age is starting to catch up with him. So I think defensively and through the midfield, Andrés Iniesta, they're having to use him more sparingly now. He's coming up to 32 and, you know, the age is catching up with him a little bit. He can't quite perform as consistently at that high level. So it's a bit of a kind of storm.
So what kind of players should they be targeting then? If they've been signing the wrong players, should they be going in the kind of Galactico model? I mean, there's already people who accuse Barcelona of losing their identity and almost just becoming another Real Madrid and going for the big names. But is that just something they need to accept? Is that, you know, if the products aren't there from La Masia, they have to go and sign the best players? And who should they be targeting this summer? I mean, have you got any names in mind that you think should be?
Well, if I did, then I'd probably be working at Barcelona. No, but I'd just echo the point Scott was making, is that, and it's kind of similar to what I was saying just beforehand, is that, you know, the club either have to try and go back to the model they had, where, you know, they've used the youth academy to bring in genuine talent, which they had through Pep Guardiola, or they have to try and go down the Galacticos method, which, to be fair, in the modern game isn't a Galacticos method, it's just the general super club method, which Bayern Munich, when they need a player, they go out and buy a player. If Real Madrid need a player, Man United I mean, you've seen the amount of money that Man United spent on Mkhitaryan in the summer. I mean, I know Barcelona don't need any more attacking midfielders, perhaps. Well, perhaps they do, actually. Well, Mkhitaryan probably would have fitted in there.
I'll give you a name. Marco Verratti is the player I think they should be going after. I think after what happened at Camp Nou in the Champions League, he might be tempted to say, you know, maybe Paris Saint-Germain just aren't at that level yet. He would fit into Barcelona's system. I think they need maybe a bit more streetwise players in midfield. Maybe that's something that could help revitalise him and maybe lessen the kind of, not the importance, but the reliance on the MSN front line. So Marco Verratti, maybe Raja Nainggolan, who's maybe not a typical Barcelona player, but if they couldn't get Verratti, then maybe he's a kind of dynamic player that could help bridge that gap if when Iniesta maybe isn't able to perform all the time. So there's two names for you.
But the suggestion is that I'll give you two names this summer that they're being linked with. Gerard Deulofeu, as I say, and someone like Steven Nzonzi, who's done a fantastic job at Sevilla. He's been really well, probably their best player this season. However, it's not the calibre to take Barcelona back to the top. I say back to the top as if they've fallen, you know, like Arsenal have fallen away in the Premier League, but, you know, he's not of that calibre. So do they need to splash the, you know, the £100 million fees on players like Manchester United are at the moment or Real Madrid?
I think the simple economics is probably the biggest barrier for Real Madrid right now. I honestly don't think they have the money to go out and spend £100 million on a player like that. The club are, I mean, the board that came in just there, when they came in, they put in a clause saying, if we don't make sure our debt ratios to a certain degree, then we all have to quit. Now, they've managed to bring it down to about 1.9. The threshold was 2.5. And that's largely because if you actually look at Barcelona's transfers over the last two or three seasons, Turan is perhaps the only one that's maybe over 50 million pounds euros. So I don't think Barcelona at this moment in time can go out and sign a player for 60, 70 million pounds or euros, even though that's exactly what they need. They've been picking up decent players from Valencia, Sevilla, blah, blah, blah. And these guys are maybe maybes who could go on, but I don't think they have the economics to go on and buy these huge players.
I think they've got to put a little bit more faith. If they're not going to have another overhaul, and I don't think necessarily if you're going to, since they already know they're going to change the coach, so there's already been an overhaul in certain terms on that side of it, a change. I don't necessarily think, given the number of players that they brought in last summer, it maybe be wise. I think they maybe need one, maybe two, but I think they need to try and trust the players and actually give those players a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even if you just look over the last three seasons, the players they lost, even just to retirement, there is a transition. I mean, they lost Puyol, they lost Xavi, and they lost, you know, Diego Alves. Now, Iniesta might go off as well, you know. So not only do they have to bring in, you know, world-class talent like any super club, but they're also having to replace right now arguably the best club side there ever was. One superstar at a time.
Yeah, and I think I would maybe liken it to the Manchester United side of the late 90s, which was maybe the last time we saw a group of players come through and dominate Europe at a super club like Barcelona or Manchester United. And after those players left Manchester United, there was a little bit of a lull in the early 2000s where it took a bit of time for them to find their identity again. So I think that's a similar thing Barcelona are going through. You mentioned the financial aspect of it. There's talk at the moment about Neymar's future regarding a new contract. There seems to be talk every year about Lionel Messi's contract. Is there a risk that if you say, you know, they can't splash out on these big money transfers, is there a risk that one of those two might actually be forced to leave to go and get market value at another club, their wages, if Barcelona can't afford them?
I think, to be honest with you, the reason I think it's a zero-sum game. They either pay the wages to Neymar and Messi, or they take that money and they try and buy other players. As things stand at the moment, I think, like I've mentioned already a number of times, there's the debt they have to deal with. There's the new stadium concept as well.
Yeah.
But also the fact that they've probably got three of the most highly paid players in the world, and they're all playing up front. You know, so if you want to look at it from a simple tactical point of view, they're top heavy, but they also have three indispensable players who cost a fortune, who most clubs couldn't afford.
And they've scored 92 goals between them this season. Yeah. So, you know, they are worth relatively what
it's really interesting watching the three of them. They're almost like a team within a team. You know, they come out of the tunnels. It's always the three of them chatting amongst themselves. You know, they're very much the core of a team. I don't think I've ever seen a team where the core is like so far up front. We haven't even discussed who should replace Luis Enrique, who's of course leaving at the end of the season. early on it seemed like Jorge Sampaoli was the favourite. Sevilla, of course, fallen away, and it seems like he's more likely to actually get the Argentina national team job. Now we've got Ernesto Valverde being linked with it, Ronald Koeman at Everton, a little bit of a strange one if you ask me, and then Juan Carlos Unzué, the assistant, seems to be the odds-on favourite now. Is that what they should be going for? That would be going for continuity, or should they be looking to make a clean break and someone who can impose a new playing style and identity on that team?
I don't know what Scott thinks, but I actually think one of the biggest problems with Barcelona recently has been the managers they've signed, which is going to sound so bizarre because of the success Enrique had when he first came in. But Enrique first came in, he didn't have much to say for his record. You know, he kind of stumbled through Roma, then at Celta. I've actually forgot the name of the guy from the old Newell's Old Boys, the coach came before Martino. Him. Yeah, unfortunately, obviously Villanova wasn't able to continue on as coach himself. But if you actually look at those three coaches, and then you compare them to Rijkaard and Pep Guardiola before them, what you had there was 8 years of genuine continuity of two coaches who knew what they were doing. Sure, Pep came in and he threw everything, you know, he wiped the slate clean, but he knew what he was doing. I mean, you could argue the pros of Enrique, but I think as a coach,
Enrique was a gamble. There was no doubt that
he's a minimalist, isn't he? He's not going to come in and he's not going to offer sweeping changes. I know he has things to change that.
I think Luis Enrique was a bit of a plaster. You know, he made Barcelona a little bit more direct at the time, which is what they needed. You know, you could say they'd been found out a little bit. So he made them a bit more direct, played to Luis Suarez and Neymar's strengths a bit more. So he was what they needed at that time. If you ask me, I think they need someone to give them a completely different new style. You know, I think the tiki-taka doesn't work anymore to the same extent. Whatever Enrique's doing isn't working at elite level, so I would look to someone to completely impose a new style. And I think this need for Barcelona to hire someone with a connection to the club is almost holding them back. Yeah. It completely limits who they can go and get. I mean, that's the only reason Ronald Koeman, we were speaking about this earlier. I think he's done a better job at Everton than I do. I think he's done a reasonable job, but good enough to be the next Barcelona manager, he shouldn't be anywhere near that list.
Well, he's already decades more qualified than the three men before him.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah.
If he was to get the job, that is.
Yeah, I mean, I think to speak for Enthuie, I think his record, I mean, he's in charge of set pieces, and maybe that's an area that some people would say Barcelona are slightly weak at defensively, but they've certainly got better at offensively. Each year, their stats have been higher and they've scored more goals from set pieces. It's now only Real Madrid and probably Sergio Ramos just himself that scores more set pieces than Barcelona. So I think that maybe speaks well for him. In other parts of the game, you would already know part of the club, and Cruyff always said it was like a rumbling volcano at Barcelona. Victor Valdez used to say that a year at Barcelona is like 2 years anywhere else.
Yeah.
If he's not run down, you know, I'd like to maybe see if in a longer term, you know, if you don't do well at Barcelona or a year or Real Madrid the same, you'll get fired anyway. So it's not as if there could be long-term consequences that they'll tie someone down to a three-year contract. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world for Enthuie, but it's a bit strange for an elite club like Barcelona to either limit themselves or not really be linked with the kind of elite coaches of the game in the way that we saw the English Premier League almost have a merry-go-round of them last summer.
I mean, just to pick up on what you said earlier on about Alex Ferguson, that's actually a really good comparison, because what happened at Manchester United was that he obviously, because he was Alex Ferguson, had the time to rebuild a team, and even though the club may have went through a slight lull as he rebuilt a new squad, they had that continuity to mean they could then go on and build another team around Ronaldo, Rooney, Tevez, etc. Barcelona don't have anything like that, and the way that they hire these coaches seems largely based on their background or what links they have to the club, rather than someone who can honestly come in for 4 years and do a job. That seems to hold them back, where at Man United with Alex Ferguson, you know, the club could sit back and say, it's okay, he'll figure things out.
I think if Barcelona are going to adopt the Galactico ethos in the transfer market, I don't see why they are so reluctant to do it in terms of managers. You know, they should just be going out there and getting the best manager for the job. I mean, today
I think what they want is that veneer that they're not doing the same as Real Madrid, and that veneer is that they're staying close to identity and staying close to what the socios might want within the club, and having that kind of more of a connection, more of a feeling to almost differentiate themselves from Real Madrid, that they were purely about the money and they had no care and they would get anyone, that it didn't even matter. it still matters a little bit, doesn't it? Whether you buy into that or not is debatable, but I think there is that slick marketing veneer that Barcelona have had for a long time from Messi and club all the way through.
I mean, the thing as well is that it's quite daunting for any coach going into that dressing room, because, I mean, you can joke about it all you want, but that Barcelona team does relatively pick itself. And that might be a compliment to the stars they have, but it's also a detriment in the fact that a coach at Barcelona these days isn't actually really allowed to shake the boat that much, or rock the boat rather, that much, or else people like Neymar, Messi, Piqué,
well,
for example.
Messi in particular, we almost saw Luis Enrique go after that defeat of the Anoeta against Real Sociedad a year ago or so. When Messi wasn't happy and he decides all.
I mean, even the situation with one of the board members that said, you know, Messi wouldn't be as good if it wasn't for Iniesta, Neymar, Suarez, and in a couple of hours he was gone. So, you know, you can't speak out against those kind of players, and there is that power base, and, you know, those internal politics all feed into what Barcelona is, for better and for worse.
But that limits what they can do, because, I mean, I know Koeman probably isn't considered a genuine contender, but if we were to use him, for example, as you know, a traditional Dutch coach likes to make sure he controls the entire system, you simply can't do that at Barcelona now, because they have players who think, maybe they are, bigger than any one tactic or any one coach or any one system. So that limits the idea of bringing in top quality coaches like Pep, Koeman, you know, players like that.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.